it's quite an evening. I got what till 6? What time is it? It's almost okay. We start usually at 5:30, right? Morning service at 5. You're right, 5 o'clock, and finished at 6. Okay. I'd like to encourage you tonight then to open up your copy of the Word of God to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Powerful portion of scripture that I want to share with you here tonight. Looking forward to what God has for us, how He has been leading, and looking forward to God's leading. This is exciting. I'm encouraged, and I hope that it can be an encouragement to you as well. Here in Mark chapter 5, we first of all want to look here, because we're going to basically look in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. But in way of introduction, let's back up a little bit. And let's see what's going on in Mark chapter 4. You know context? Here in Mark chapter 4, let's look at verse 33. In Mark chapter 4, verse 33, it says this: "The same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." So we got the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has just finished some parables in Mark chapter 4. And he's looking at his disciples and saying, "Let's go to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Storms start off very quickly on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is such around mountains around it, you don't see a coming storm. And they come up pretty fast. And coming up so quickly, the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? We're about to die here." And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus just calmed the sea. And we want to focus here on Mark chapter 5. Here in Mark chapter 5, we have the demoniac of Gadara. The Bible shares with us here, "And they that came over onto the other side of the sea," chapter 5, "into the country of the Gadarians." Now, we have critics today who say, well, this is not the inspired word of God. Because, you see, in Matthew, it refers to the Gergesons. And here in Mark, it refers to the Gadarians. And so they're saying, hey, there's a problem here. One, the Gergesons, the Gadarians, I mean, it doesn't fit together. I mean, this must not be the inspired word of God, right? Well, no. Actually, what was taking place here is one is referring to like a state, and the other one's referring to the country. One is focusing closer to the situation, where the other one is looking at it in a bigger picture. Matthew is looking at it in a bigger picture. Mark is focusing on one section. And then again, we have Matthew that refers to two demoniacs of Gadara, where Mark only refers to one. And again, critics say, oh, there's a problem here. It must not be inspired. No, Matthew is referring to Gentiles and Jews, whereas here, Mark is focusing on the one Gentile that came to know Christ as a Savior. Matthew's referring to the kingdom. Mark is referring to a servant. Jesus, as a servant, was looking and helping a Gentile come to faith in him. So there's not a problem here. It's not that the Word of God is not inspired, or there's a mistake here. This is the inspired Word of God. We can believe what it says. And there's just simply ways to answer questions that men might have. So here we have this demoniac of Gadara. The Bible says in verse 1, it says, "And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarians. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So here we have a man with an unclean spirit, demon-possessed. He comes out of the mountain to come see Jesus. And I've often wondered, why did he come down to see Jesus? Is it possible that this demoniac of Gadara up on the mountaintop saw what was taking place on the Sea of Galilee? Do you remember the story came up? And he probably looked at that storm and said, those men in those boats are going to die. They're going to be destroyed. Is it possible that when this demoniac of Gadara saw the storm ceased and it became as glass, I wonder if he started to think, if Jesus could calm the storm from without, what could he do with the storm from within? There was a storm going on within his life. The Bible shares with us, and I look at this as a living portfolio. You know, a portfolio is a group of pictures that you might take in order to introduce somebody to something that you've done, whether it's artwork or maybe landscaping or something that you have done for somebody else to encourage them that you could do the same thing. Well, I look at this as a living portfolio. And the first picture in this living portfolio is a picture of a sinner. The Bible shares with us here in Mark chapter 5, beginning now at verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. First of all, this man, a picture of a sinner, is living in tombs. Well, why would you live in a tomb other than focusing on death and no hope? You know, I think the worst holiday that was ever invented is Halloween. Halloween is very, very wicked. Focuses on death and Satanism and satanic. You know, I thought the best thing about the coronavirus is that they canceled Halloween. Man, I thought that was the best thing of all. It's the worst holiday. Some have told me that Halloween is the number one holiday in America. Oh, boy, I sure hope not. That's the worst. It's terrible. Focuses on death and suffering and anguish. And what a terrible, terrible, terrible time to think about death and no hope. And here this man was. He lives in tombs. And verse 3 it says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Anguish, pain, living in the tombs, focusing on death, no hope, no joy, no peace. The demoniac of Gadara, a picture of a sinner. I remember talking to a teenager who did self-harm. Self-harm is when they take razor blades and sharp objects and cut themselves and cut their arms and their wrists. I looked at her, I said, well, why do you do this? And she said, you know, my home life is not very good. My parents are having problems, and I hurt so bad. All the things going on, I'm just in anguish, and I hurt so bad inside. And she said, in order to stop the pain and the anguish from within, I cut myself in my arms, hoping that my mind will focus on the outer pain instead of the inner pain. She hurt so much. All that was going on in her life, she hurt so much. And in order to get rid of that pain, she would cut herself out physically. Oh, how dreadful. I looked at her. I said, you know, that's what Jesus did for you. He took that suffering. He took that pain. You need to place that on him. Trust in him, because only he can give you the peace and the joy that only God can give. This man was in anguish. He was in pain, living amongst the tombs, cutting himself with knives, no hope, no joy, no peace, nothing to look forward to. Life just wasn't worth it. So we have here a picture of a sinner, this living portfolio. And so as you look at this living portfolio, point number one, the picture of a sinner. But we don't want to end with a picture of a sinner. We also want to consider a picture of a saint. Because the Bible shares with us here, and this is quite lengthy. It shares with us here in verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Can this man, if he could calm the storm from without, can he calm this storm from within? This anguish and this pain. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. We know that these demons within knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was. This man, not sure, worshiping the Lord and seeking who he was. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he answered him, what is thy name? And he answered, this is the demons, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, folks, that word many is an understatement. Because during that time, a legion was 3,680. 3,680 demons within him. There was a storm going on. I think there's a storm going on right now. There's a storm going on. And this man was afraid. You've got all these demons speaking through him and their voices. And how fearful that must have been. Scared. A demon. All those things happening within his life. A storm was going on. And you could just imagine. As that storm there on the Sea of Galilee, and he looks at that storm and thinks, well, if God, if the Lord Jesus Christ could calm the storm from without, what can he do with that storm from within? What could he do? This man had 3,680 demons within, and the demon or Jesus looks at him and says, and cast out those demons. And I don't know if I'll be able to read this text or not. Just a second here. Maybe, oh, have you got some light? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you so much. God answers prayer. He does. There we go. All right. So scripture tells us here, we just looked at these 3,680 demons from within. He besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. For some reason, demons, they want to possess something. They don't want to be just cast out. So they request, can we go into, it says here, that there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils, these are the demons. There's only one devil, right? Only one Satan, only one Lucifer. But there are many, many demons. You've got the fallen angels. When Satan fell from heaven, he fell, and there was a third of the angels who followed him. These are demons. Those are demons. And so we just have one devil. But all the demons besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. And my question is why do the Samaritans have swine? Why do they have pigs? Well, the reason is because in that area, there were foreign or heathen gods that they worshipped. And these heathen gods required swine for a sacrifice. So this was their religion. This is what they believed. And they used these swine to sacrifice them to their gods. Not the true and living God, but to the gods of this world, to the demons. And so here we have them and these unclean spirits, and they cried out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. This is the first reference to deviled ham. So you got all these swine dead and floating in the sea. And you know, here we have, and they that fed the swine fled and told it into the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Look at this. We got all these demons, one devil, remember, just one Satan, but many, many demons. That man who was possessed with these devils, and look at this picture of a saint. Look at this. And had the legion sitting. He was sitting, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That's a picture of a saint. Do you remember? He had no hope, no peace, lived amongst the tombs, ran around naked, no clothes. He had no hope, no peace. But now look at him. After he came face to face with the Son of God, now he is sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Isn't that exciting? Look what Jesus did for him and the change that occurred. Jesus, or this demoniac of Gadara, was right. If Jesus could calm the storm from without, he could certainly calm the storm from within. And the hope is found in Christ. Here he is, he's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Oh, it's so important. To modesty is so important. Because what modesty says is this. By being modest and dressing well, you're saying, I want people to focus on Christ and not on me. Because when we don't dress modestly, and this is the men as well as the women. You know, I see men dressed in different ways than in the mall and different places. And I think, oh man, I wouldn't be found dead like that. It's important to be modest. Because when we're not modest, we're saying, look at me. But by dressing modestly in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, we're saying, I want you to focus on Christ. I want you to focus on him. Wow, there's quite a storm going on. So Jesus is here, and this man, he's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Wow, a picture of a saint. But not only do we want to look at a picture of a sinner, no hope, no peace, living amongst the tombs, but we also want to focus on a picture of a saint, one whose life was changed. But last of all, I want to share with you a picture of a servant. A picture of a servant. The Bible shares with us here that these men and they that saw it told them how it had befallen him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray and thanked him for coming and gave him a hug and trusted in him and said, hey, we want you to stick around. Is that what happened? No, better look at what's happening here. I'm not telling you the truth, am I? Because it says in verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They said, we don't want anything to do with you. You see, he just ruined their religion. He took away their income, destroyed their families. He shared with them their sin, confronted them with their false gods. And they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. So they asked him to leave. Oh, you know, when we witness and tell people about Christ, sometimes they slam the door in our faces too, don't they? And they say, we're not interested. We don't want to hear. But they're not rejecting you and me. They're rejecting the Savior, aren't they? The one who could calm the storm from within. The one who could give them help. They're not interested. Their eyes are blinded. They don't see. They don't see it. A strong delusion taking place as God promised in the end times. So here they are asking him to leave. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed, listen to this, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. A picture of a saint. A picture of a servant. He said, Lord, I want to spend time with you. And you know, isn't that true in the life of a believer? We want to spend time with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to spend time in the house of God where we can grow spiritually and we can live for him and choose to grow and to serve him with all of our hearts. this man wanted to spend time with Jesus. Oh, I remember when I first trusted the Lord as my Savior, I was so excited. I wanted to go up on top of a mountaintop and shout, I'm born again. How about you? I wanted people to know. I wanted to learn more about the Word of God and become closer to my Savior that loved me so much. The one who took the storm away. That's who I wanted to spend time with. And that's where this man was. He wanted to be a servant. He wanted to spend time with Jesus. But look what Jesus says to him in verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Great things. The storm has ceased. Dressed, sitting, and in his right mind, and hath had compassion on thee. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, I can't be a witness. I can't tell people about the Savior. But you know, if you know the Lord's your Savior, you know enough to tell somebody else about what Christ has done for you. This man, Jesus said, I want you to go home. You know enough. You know enough. Look at the life experiences that he has had and the Savior that ceased that storm. He goes on, verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And listen to this. And all men did, what's that word?
Marvel.
Could you imagine going through town? Decapolis is 10 cities. All bunched together, probably the same situation we see in the world today. You never know when you leave one city and go to the other. I mean, it's so confusing. You got all these 10 cities, and here he is walking through town, and somebody comes by and says, hey, I know who you are. What happened to you? And he turns around and tells them about Jesus and what Christ has done for him. What a witness. And all men did marvel. They marveled at the change in this man's life. Oh, that is a picture of a servant. As we look at this portfolio today, I see, first of all, a picture of a sinner, a picture of a saint, and last of all, a picture of a servant. You know, as you consider your own life, what about your portfolio? Do you, first of all, have that first picture? Yes, we all do, don't we? A picture of a sinner. But the most important thing is, have you added a picture of a saint? Have you ever come to the time or point in your life when you realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and accepted him as your personal Savior? And then, last of all, how about a picture of a servant? Is it your desire to be faithful in the house of God, growing spiritually and sharing with a dying world that there's life in Christ? Because you see, Christ can calm the storm from without. And just as he can calm the storm from without, he can calm the storm from within. And there's a storm going on. Maybe not as severe as this demoniac of Gadara, but there's still a storm. There's still hurts, anguish, pain. Questions about the unknown and the future. The hope that we have is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man found a storm that ceased all because of Jesus, the Son of God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. These quick words here tonight, even through difficult times. I pray, Father, that we can figure out what's going on and certainly get this breaker board fixed and replaced and whatever needs to be done, that certainly it will not be a distraction to the gospel. And Father, we just pray that as we look forward to this week ahead, that you'll use it for your honor and glory. I pray for the school, that it will continue to grow. It will continue to be a blessing to those who attend. I pray for the teachers and their wisdom and direction. And I just pray that you'll use them in a very special way to work in the lives of these young people who are so dear, young and moldable and certainly can be directed and led in a way that's pleasing to you. We just pray for each student that they'll have a love for you, a desire to know you, a desire to grow. I pray for the food bank and all those who, who are in need in this community that can get the help that they need. And, oh, Father, we'll certainly praise you for it. Pray that you'll lean direct this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing a closing hymn. Just As I Am would be okay. Let's see if I can find a hymn book. There we go. You got one? Just As I Am. All right. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. It's 67. 167. That's the problem.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Verse 2.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Let's do verse 5.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. You have a wonderful evening and a great week.
Amen. We'll close with a word of prayer real quick. Father God, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for everything you've given to us and done for us. We just praise you. Thank you for the wonderful message tonight and all day today, Father. We just thank you for your word and your blessings. And please fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to go out into this world through this next week and be the salt and the light of the earth for you, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.
Amen. Yes, thank you. Amen. Amen.